A phrase that's been going around Luther House lately is when I do something crazy or make an unusual statement, I've been known to say lately, what are they going to do, fire me? And then it occurred to me one day, they actually might. It could still happen. So here we are. I'm wondering what you think. Do you think that when God called Moses, Moses had any inkling about what was in store for him when he was given the assignment to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land? What do you think? Did the children of God have any idea what God had in store for them when they left the comfort of Egypt for, I mean, who knows where? What about Saul? Knocked down to the ground with a bolt of lightning or a flash of light or who knows what it was. Do you think he had any idea what that conversion would entail, what God had in mind for him, where his life would go, the twists and the turns, the opportunities and the challenge that would face him? Or what about the 12? We heard their names. Did they have any clue what Jesus meant when he summoned them to a mission? Hand out things at worship. Go tell the good news. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Touch a leper. What about us in baptism? Did you ever have any clue what God had in mind for you when that water and those words were placed on your head? I didn't. Life has taken some kind of interesting twists along the way. Moses, the Israelites, Saul, the disciples, and us, for the most part, we're all just sort of ordinary folk. People like you and me and them, they had names, we have families, they had histories and abilities and limitations and jobs and every imaginable trouble and delight that one can have in life, I'm sure they had, and so do we. About some of them, a lot is known. About a lot of us, something is known, but there are parts that aren't necessarily known. Peter, Andrew, James, John were fishermen, we know that, better suited to rolling waves and heavy nets than dry land and large crowds. Philip was the pragmatist who asked one day when about 5,000 people showed up for lunch, so where are we going to get the food and how are we going to pay for that? And Bartholomew was a man of mysterious origin. The lexicon I was using just doesn't know anything about him. Thomas the skeptic, we know about his doubts. Matthew was a tax collector, had a bad reputation. James the son of Alphaeus was sometimes called the younger. You never want to be called the younger with your brothers and sisters, do you? Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, Judas Iscariot, the keeper of the purse who, well, we know how that story ended. They were unremarkable in many ways. They were people just like us in so many ways, yet they were invited by God into a wild and wonderful journey. The stories of their lives, their faith, and their witness are recounted in sacred scripture and retold again and again, probably because we're slow to learn, but also so that we can hear once again and again from their witness and the wonderful calling that is in store for us. Holden Village, that wonderful retreat center in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, appropriated an ancient prayer for their own use. I wonder if they got permission to do that. Well, I don't care. The prayer begins, Lord, you have called us to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths untrodden, through perils unknown. Can't you just hear those early disciples giving voice to a prayer like that, or maybe writing something similar down and putting it in their pocket and say, you know, I'm not sure where we're off to here, But whatever this venture, God, go with us. And haven't we prayed that prayer as well? Jesus, where are you leading us? I'm just trying to follow you and do what you ask. How come there are so many obstacles and difficulties and challenges and weirdnesses of this life put in my way? Okay, here's where the pictures come in. You got them? You didn't put them away, did you? Okay, hold them in your hand. Take a look at the pictures. See the brief description of these wonderful, amazing people I've had a chance to work with throughout this last year or years. And it's not the whole community because, well, we didn't have everybody in one place at one time to take all their pictures. But these are a bunch of them. Together, they and I have talked and laughed and played and sometimes cried and shared the burdens and blessings of being human and a person of faith. We've wondered and we've fretted and we've celebrated and we've been confused. And you know, yesterday was commencement. Traffic was a little snarly here for some time. Takes a long time to read 6,000 names, but we got through it. A few of those that you hold in your hand completed that milestone yesterday. Some of them are going on to other places and advanced study and more academic work. And some are off to jobs and internships and going to visit family or friends this summer. Some have left, some still are headed out, or they're working. Each and every one is a precious part of this community called God's people. And I can tell you that each one of them has been called, like you and me, to a wild and wonderful life. No two are the same. Each one has bountiful gifts and, if truth be known, a few limitations. Like us, yeah, I know, you know that, don't you? Like us, some of them are rough-hewn, still needing to have the edges polished off a little bit. But none of that makes any difference to God who calls them and to us who join them in ventures like our ancestors of faith were called to. And even though our times now may be different than the times written of Scripture, the issues we face may be unique, the demands on us be different than any other generation has faced, and the opportunities put into our future are unusual to say the least, yet in all of us, God finds something beautiful and useful and amazing. And so it's worth asking again today, to what has God called you? To what has God called me? To what has God called those precious people on those cards? To obey God's voice and keep God's covenant, to live like the children of God, to cure the sick and raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers and the demons, to trust God who provides for us and sustains us without our asking. That's what God calls us to. How is that possible? By ourselves, not at all. By God's help, ever so much so. You see, if healing is about making things whole, and teaching is about bearing the truth, and leadership is about courage, and serving about humility, then all these things are possible in the frail, finite human beings we are because of God who lives in us. Too often, I think we fret about the capacities we don't have. In so doing, we overlook the possibilities we do and the gifts given to us and the opportunities that come our way, the small things that we do that make a big difference. Of course, there's no guarantee about how things will turn out. Is there ever? There's never a guarantee about how it's going to turn out. No crystal ball will tell us what troubles we'll encounter along life's way, and no warnings are sufficient to adequately describe what challenges we'll face. But caution, security, or advance warnings are not the point. The point is, God wants to use us, whatever the circumstances of our lives, whatever the gifts we have to offer, however our life is lived, for the sake of the kingdom and the healing of the nations and the good of all, and believe it or not, the inbreaking of the kingdom. So about those cards, you still have them? Okay, pick them up. Take a look again. I have an assignment for you. It's going to last all summer. You ready for this? You take the card home with you. Put it in a prominent place, somewhere where you'll see it every day. For me, that's probably the fridge, right? The magnet. I got to go there, right? But I always see it if it's on the fridge. You know that too. Every day, all summer, pray for them. Just the one right there, by name, by their name, not any other name. Whatever name is on the card, whatever picture is there, pray for that person. Be specific. Be specific in the requests you make of God to protect them, to help them, to reveal new things to them, to energize them, to get them up out of bed, whatever. Pray specifically. And thirdly, when it comes time for the prayers of the faithful today, this is going to be tricky. I'm going to leave a space in one of the petitions, and you'll know which one it is, for all of us, all at the same time, to name the name that you hold in your hand, so that we can visualize and hear each other pray as a community of God's people for these precious ones. We have entered the season of the church year called Ordinary Time. It's ordinary because, well, there aren't any special things going on. Fourth of July isn't a religious holiday. There aren't big occasions. There's no great church pageantry. There are no summer hymns that are grand. The rain falls, the grass grows, the flowers fruit, the birds sing, the bees buzz. The rhythm of life is just ordinary. And so it would be easy to overlook any possibility that the God of the universe is doing anything interesting at all but taking a siesta. The truth, however, is in the ordinariness of everyday stuff. God is calling us to one wild and wonderful journey of faith. So I appeal to you, seize the moment. Trust God. Let the seed of God's Spirit bear fruit that brings healing and wholeness and hope and peace to all whose lives are touched by yours. And so we pray the ending of that ancient prayer borrowed by Holden Village and in the hip pocket of the disciples with a slight adaptation. Give us faith, O God, to go out with good courage, not always knowing where we go, but only that your hand, O God, is leading us and that your love supporting us every ordinary moment of every ordinary day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by our lives and our witness, may your name be praised and the peoples of the world be healed. Amen.